Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Today we are in the Gospel of Luke, and we come today to chapter 9, verse 57. Now let's begin with prayer. Lord, we ask that our hearts are good ground, that we would hear your word and understand your word, and that your word would bear fruit in our lives 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 9, verse 57, it says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, that sounds great, doesn't it? Sounds great. Many would hear a strong, positive statement like that, and they would believe him. And not only would they believe him, many would count on him to do what he said. Jesus was not that naive, however. 58, Jesus replied, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus is making sure that this man does not have an idealistic view of what it's like to follow Christ. Jesus is saying, following me gets rough sometimes. Following me means you're going to be uncomfortable sometimes. And Jesus is asking the man if he's willing to put up with a lot of garbage because of his connection to Christ, because he may have to. Verse 59. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And believe me, his father's corpse is not laying at home waiting to be buried, because if it was, he would not be out on the street talking to Jesus. His father isn't even gone yet. So what this man really is saying is, sure, Jesus, I will follow you a little later. I want to wait for my father to die first. Probably has something to do with the inheritance. Verse 60. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. Stop there for a second. In other words, let your unsaved friends and your unsaved family members take care of things at home. Let them take care of things at home. Let them worry about the inheritance. Because Jesus had something else in mind for this fellow. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And so the command to this man was, follow me now. Go right now. Yes, but first was the wrong answer. When God says, do this, and we respond with, yes, but first, in reality we are saying, no, God, I won't. Because delayed obedience is disobedience. 61. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Christ cannot hang around and wait for this man to go home and straighten some things out before he follows him, which is what this guy evidently wanted to do. And so this man, I guess, wanted to do God's will, but he wanted to do it on his schedule, not God's schedule. Satan usually doesn't tell a person to never do what God wants them to do. Most of the time, Satan will say, do it later. And then, of course, later never comes. Verse 62. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. In other words, do not put off getting saved. Do not put off following Christ. That is so dangerous. If you die today and God says, why didn't you receive my son? It will not help you one bit, not do you one bit of good to say, well, I was planning on it. I just wanted to get a few other things out of the way first, and then I was going to do that. Well, your priorities were not right. And now it's too late because you are dead. Verse 63. Nope, not verse 63, chapter 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Jesus knew he was on his way to Jerusalem to die. But that did not cause him to slow down his ministry of getting out the Word of God one bit. He made the most of his time. He will let tomorrow's problems, he will let that be an issue for, tomorrow, not today. He won't let it slow him down. And Jesus had said, let tomorrow worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own, and he is living what he has said. He is making the most of today's opportunity while he has it, and he will worry about tomorrow's problems tomorrow. Verse 2. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Notice the command to pray. Now, they were told to go, but clearly they are told to go prayerfully. Your going and your doing will be much better if you pray over your going and pray over your doing. And here Jesus says, pray. Pray, because God wants more workers to be sent out into the kingdom to do his will. 3. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. In other words, it's going to be dangerous. You say you want to follow me? Well, get ready, because it's going to be dangerous. Still is today. Going all out for Jesus Christ will get the attention of the world and the devil, and they won't like it. Christ knows that better than anyone else. Verse 4, do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. In other words, they were to travel light, and they were to travel fast. No time for horsing around, no time for delay. There is a time for recreation, but at the same time, a lifestyle of useless conversation and a lifestyle of useless activity is just a foolish waste of the time that God has given us. God has only given us X amount of time, X amount of resources, and we will be judged as to how we have used them. Verse 5. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. In other words, Jesus is telling his men to give everyone that they run into a chance to receive Christ. They may look like an unlikely prospect, but the fact is God looks at the inside, not the outside. So Jesus is saying, you begin it with offering peace. In other words, give them my word and see if they receive it. They deserve an opportunity. Verse 6, if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Very important. Very important. If their greeting of peace in the name of Jesus is received, stay. If it is not, then leave. In other words, what Jesus is saying is don't try to force yourself on someone. And don't try to force me on someone either. Verse 7. Stay in that house, eating and drinking, whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. In other words, they should not feel bad about being compensated for their teaching. Don't feel bad about taking an offering, is what Christ is saying to these guys. A worker deserves to be paid by the one who benefits from his work. It's that way across the board in life. On the other hand, Jesus makes it clear that they need to be content with what they are given. Also, they are not to jump around from house to house looking for the best meal, looking for the biggest offering. They're not supposed to do that either. Verse 8. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Jesus is saying, if somebody is interested in me, they welcome you to their house and they give you a meal. Clearly, they're kind of interested in me. Jesus is saying, if they invite you to supper, and he says, eat what's before you. In other words, if they serve liver, gag it down with a smile on your face if you have to, but don't insult them, whatever you do. And that's the point. Don't offend someone who is on the way to hell and is looking for a way out. Verse 9. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. The kingdom of God is near you. You know, some kingdoms you have to travel a long way to get to, but not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is near. It is a prayer away. All you have to do is say, Jesus, save my soul, take over my life. It's that close, and bang, you're in. You cross the border. Verse 10. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, stop there for a second. One thing is certain, and that is that the disciples will experience rejection because of Christ. Jesus did not say, if you should, by some chance, strange chance, ever be rejected because of me. He did not say if. He said when. It is a given. It is not a strange thing to be rejected by some because you live for Christ. It is normal. And Jesus says when that happens. Then verse 11, even the dust of your town that sticks to your feet we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. They are to get a final word in before they walk away from the person who rejects Christ. They're to get a final word in. Because in essence, the disciples are to say this, you are rejecting Christ, and that is your business. But truth is still truth, and Jesus is still Lord. And you will suffer the consequences of your decision. 12. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Sodom was destroyed by God because of their sin. And so it will not be good for the people of Sodom on Judgment Day. I mean, that's for sure. But it's going to be much worse for people who reject the Son of God. The people from Sodom did not have the Son of God there in their midst doing miracles. So it's going to be much worse for people who reject the Son of God. Just remember this. It does not feel good to be rejected because of the truth that you stand for. It does not feel good to be rejected because you stand for the Word of God and you believe the Bible. And you believe in Christ, that does not feel good to be rejected for those reasons. But multiply those bad feelings by infinity, and you have what Christ rejectors are going to feel on Judgment Day. 13. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. Chorazin, Bethsaida had many miracles done in them. The Son of God spent much time teaching in those cities. And all that special attention they received made their sin more vile and more disgusting to God. If other people would have been given a fraction of the truth that they had, Jesus says they would have repented. Verse 14. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. So the more truth that a person rejects in this life, the worse their eternal punishment will be. 15, and you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. Capernaum was privileged to be Jesus' adopted hometown, in a sense, I guess you would call it. But those in Capernaum who rejected all the truth that Jesus gave them will not be privileged in eternity. Their privileges are through. Just the opposite. Some of the worst places in hell are reserved for Christ rejectors like those in Capernaum who had so much truth. 16. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. If someone rejects the standards of holiness you live by? As I said earlier, I read the wrong verse here. I got to go back. Verse 16. He who listens to you, listens to me. He who rejects you, rejects me. But he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. If someone rejects the holiness standards that you live by, if somebody rejects you because you belong to Jesus Christ, you believe the Bible is the Word of God, try not to take it personally. Because really, they are rejecting the Spirit of Christ who is in you. They are rejecting Him. You are just feeling the overflow of what Christ is feeling. 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. You know, a criminal may be bigger and stronger and smarter and wealthier than a police officer. But that officer's badge makes him bigger and stronger and wealthier and smarter than they are. They may be bigger and stronger and all that stuff than a police officer, but that badge of his makes him more important. And I'll tell you what, it also gives him the right to arrest that criminal. And it's the same with us and demons. We are no match for demons. There is no way. They are bigger, they are stronger, they are smarter than even the best Christians. Demons are much more powerful than us. But when we resist them with the Word of God, which is our badge of authority, they fail, they must submit, they must flee. 18. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And so while the 70 were preaching the Word and casting out demons, Jesus was seeing a vision. While they're out there giving out the Word of God, Jesus is seeing a vision of Satan falling from his place of victory. In other words, Jesus saw the devil get a beating. No wonder he hates the Word of God. No wonder he despises those who get out the Word of God. Because you give out the Word of God, and Satan's going to lose ground every single time. Because he cannot resist the power of the Word of God. And it's always going to have an effect, a good effect. And so Jesus sees him fall. He's getting a beating as they're out giving out the word. 19. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. By teaching the Word of God and casting out demons, the 70 that Jesus sent out, boy, did they tick Satan off. And you can bet he would have killed them if he could have. But God would not let it happen. It's because God protects his people until their work on earth is done. Oh, he'd love to kill anybody who's getting out the Word of God, or praying for people who are getting out the Word of God, or supporting those who are getting out the Word of God. He'd love to kill them, but he can't. God won't let them. 20. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You know, it's good to live for God, and it is good to do for God, and it's good to enjoy fellowship with God. But the main thing that we should do is remember. God wants us to remember. He wants us to remember the most basic, fundamental Christian truth of all. He wants us to remember that through Jesus Christ our Lord, we will never burn in hell. We should never lose sight of that most fundamental truth. Because if we remember that Jesus Christ saved us from hell, then the doing for God and all these other things, that's going to come naturally as a byproduct, as a spinoff. 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. The haughty religious know-it-alls miss the simple but profound truths of the Word of God. On the other hand, those with innocent, simple, childlike faith towards God and towards His Word, They heard the word, they believed the word, and they were blessed. Little children don't understand everything about everything that their mom and dad tell them. They just believe. They believe anyway. And that is how God wants us to be toward Him and His Word. Don't try to figure it out. If you can't figure it out, don't worry about it. If it doesn't quite make sense to you, don't worry about it. Just believe what He says. Obey what He says. And He will bless you because of it. It's that simple. 22. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. No one knows a Father like a Son. And no one knows the Father like the Son. No one knows the Son like the Father. And if you are close to your children or your child, you know, that's the way it is in that situation as well. And Jesus knows the Father so well that He is able to communicate things about God to His people that nobody else can. It's because nobody else knows God the Father like Jesus does. And so you get saved and you spend time in the Word of God and in prayer, and you draw close to Christ, He'll show you all sorts of things about God that you never knew before and that other people don't know. Because He knows God the Father. He knows Him inside and out. He can just relate those things about God to us. That's how we learn about God, and that's how we draw closer to God, through Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Verse 23. Then He turned to His disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see." The disciples were blessed to know the Son of God and experience all the things that they experienced as a result of it. And Christ tells them that too. He wants them to step back and think about just how blessed they really are. And it's good to do that. It's good to step back, look around at the good things that God has done for us, and just count our blessings so that we don't take them for granted. And verse 24 goes right along with that, actually, and we'll stop with this today. "For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and wanted to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Jesus says, you guys are so fortunate compared to the generations that lived before you. And that is true, because people throughout the Old Testament, people who knew those Old Testament scriptures, they all understood from the time of Adam and Eve that God was going to send a Savior. They all knew that. And generation after generation waited and died without ever seeing it happen. Well, the disciples, the apostles, they lived to see it. What a privilege to actually live in the time when the Son of God was here on earth, and to actually know Him, and to actually live with Him, and spend time with Him, and see Him, and listen to Him, and even see Him after He was raised from the dead, to do all those things. What an unbelievable privilege. And so Jesus is reminding His apostles just how blessed they are. And again, it is good for us to do that. It's good for us to step back and focus on the good things we have, and not so much on the things that we don't have. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. I'm telling you, don't put it off. Because once you're dead, it's too late. And if you have not received Christ by the time you die, you're doomed. Jesus is the only Savior. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to eternal life except through Jesus Christ. And I didn't make that up. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. And so, the choice is yours, though. It's all voluntary. You want to receive Jesus? Receive eternal life? You pray with me right now and mean business. Father, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. I repent of my sin. I invite You to come into my life. Be my Lord, be my Savior from this moment on. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you have become a child of God. Your sins are gone. If you have any questions for me, comments for me, prayer requests, whatever, feel free to write me or call me. The address here is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Or you can call, area code 715-842-9021. That's 715-842-9021. You can also catch Scripture Verse by Verse audio on the internet at scriptureversebyverse.org. If you are watching this, listening to this in the Wausau area, central Wisconsin, you're welcome to come and join us. On Sunday morning, we have a very simple service, a couple of songs, Holy Communion, and I teach the Word of God verse by verse. Also, there's a Wednesday evening Bible study where I just teach the Word for about a half hour, verse by verse, in another book of the Bible. So, plenty of opportunities for you to learn the Word of God and come and join us. Write me or call me for information on where we are meeting. Again, that phone number, 842-9021. And check out our website at scriptureversebyverse.org. There's plenty of Bible study on there to listen to. Feed your spirit. Until next time, Michael Moret here for Scripture Verse by Verse. So on. Thank you.